This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chucky's coming to you live on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980 here in the DMV. 910 The Fan, 105.1 FM in Richmond. We're streaming live on the free Odyssey app, and you can watch us on the Monumental Sports Network, brought to you by our friends at Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. It's Bish, Cakes, EB, and JP. That is the foursome. Mike Loxley, Terps head football coach, going to join us coming up at 9:45. It's Coaches Wednesday, because joining us right now on the BetQL Guest Hotline is Spencer Carberry, head coach of the Washington Capitals. He's presented by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing. You visit cfaortho.com. Good morning, Coach.
Morning, guys.
Good morning, Coach Carb. So obviously the Caps are celebrating their 50th anniversary season. We got some nice gift boxes from the team yesterday. That was much appreciated. And I saw the video of the current players delivering gifts and tickets to some of the 36 original remaining season ticket holders from the Caps' inaugural season at the Cap Center back in 1974. I mean, that is some loyalty, buying tickets for any team for 50 straight years. That's pretty impressive, and a nice touch by the Caps to take care of their most loyal fans.
Yeah, that was good to see, and I talked to some of the guys about where they were headed in the DMV area, and 36 original season ticket holders. So that was cool that those guys, especially our veteran guys like Willie and John Carlson and Obi, being able to do that and share that moment with those original season ticket holders.
Cakes, were you an original season ticket holder?
No,
your family? When I was a kid, I went to a Save the Caps thing with Cakes' family.
I am old. My dad bought tickets early, but I don't know if he was in on the first,
maybe not year
first
one
wave, and he certainly didn't have them for 50 years. So that's some good longevity by those guys.
So you got the roster set, huh? Fill us in.
Yeah, we've trimmed it down and got to the numbers, so we've got 23. We're ready to roll.
You told us when we talked to you a few weeks ago that there might be 10 or 11 new guys. What was the final total?
So there's essentially 11 guys that started on the roster last year that are no longer here. So that's like Pacioretty. Now, some of them started on injured reserve, like Pacioretty, Edmondson. But like we had Matt Phillips, Lucas Johansson, Mantha, Obi Kubel, Jensen, Malenstein, like all these guys, Kuzi, Backe, Osh. So it's a lot of turnover. It's a lot of new faces. But I feel like through training camp, it's been a long camp, but it's been productive from a standpoint of getting guys integrated and feeling as comfortable as possible. So we could have probably close to 9 guys potentially in the lineup opening night.
So what's old is new again. Jacob Vrana makes the squad. He signs a 1-year deal. He last played for the Caps in 2021. He's been an NHL vagabond over the last 3 years. In that span, he's played for the Red Wings, the Blues, 2 AHL teams. What did you think his odds were to make the squad at the beginning of camp? It's a nice feel-good story that he's back.
And what did he show you?
Yeah, odds, like, and I think the reason why he took the PTO with us is because we did have a couple of forward slots that were up for grabs, and we were going to be able to compete. And it wasn't like he was going up against, you know, a 10-year vet guy with that had big seasons last year. It was going to be him and some young guys, Miro, Andrew Crystal. And so I thought his odds going in, like he had a good chance. And I think what he showed, to answer the second part, he showed enough for me to have some confidence in him that he could potentially help us offensively was the big key. And that's what always was the appeal for us, is we need to find some scoring throughout our lineup and guys that, you know, we've got a group that works their butt off, plays very structured, And we're also trying to find guys that, you know, given the opportunity they get in with the goaltender, they can beat that goaltender or make a play and shoot one under the bar. And that's what he has. He's got speed and skill and has a great shot. So I think that was the appeal, and his commitment level and work ethic through camp, it was nice to see, and he earned that contract from us, an opportunity to be on the team.
You know, Coach Carves, another good story, a feel-good story coming out of camp is Dylan McElrath makes the opening night roster. 32-year-old defenseman that captained the Hershey Bears to back-to-back Calder Cups. He's a former 10th overall pick that seems to be finding his way in his early 30s. And one of your quotes was, he's just gotten better and better as he's gotten older, which is a great quality. So that's cool that he made the opening night roster too.
Yeah, unreal. And it really, it's pretty rare at 30, in your 30s, you're still getting better in your game. You feel like it's becoming more polished and more consistent. And that's been the case with Mac. And it's such a cool story because he's such a down-to-earth, teammates love him. As you know, the physicality part of his game and willing to stick up for teammates has been there since day one. And he's grinded a lot of years in the minors and rode a lot of buses and just continued to, the thing that like when you get to 27, 28, 29, and you keep playing in the minors, it's really easy for it to go, okay, I'm just going to, you know, ride this career out. It's been great. You know, make a little bit of money playing the minors, but to stay motivated and push yourself every day to say, nope, I'm going to find a way to get back into the NHL and I'm going to keep working on my game after 2, 3, 4 years of not being there, 5 years and up. It's so impressive. And for him at 32 to make after 8 years of not being on a NHL opening day roster, it's a pretty cool story for Mac.
Talking to Coach Spencer Carberry of your Washington Capitals. So, last year, offensive struggles, you guys make all these roster changes, you bring in some new guys. 6 preseason games, how do you feel about the offense entering the season?
Work in progress. Some positive steps that we saw, but I do think we're still working on it to this day through camp. And in the Boston game, and you know, we're evaluating it kind of as the preseason goes along, and you take it with a grain of salt because it is the preseason and not everybody's got their finished rosters and the you know, I'm not going to say the compete level, but just it's just not the regular season is probably the best way to put it. It's just not the real deal. And so we saw some positive steps and I think we're getting there, but we still got some work to do to find that finished product of being able to play within structure, but also attack more and generate more high quality looks and finish on those opportunities and get on the same page with that.
Coach, I wanted to focus on a couple of young guys that did not make the opening night roster, Miro and Kristall. So Miro goes back to Hershey. Kristall's heading back to his WHL squad. These guys are super young. I mean, Miro's 20, Kristall's 19. There's no shame in not making the big club at this stage of their careers. And I assume that you want them to get more ice time in the minors so that when you do need to call them up, that they're going to be ready to go. They got some seasoning instead of them like languishing on the bench here in Washington.
100%. It's exactly the way I couldn't have said it better myself. Like that's what we're, as much as we want them to get here and for lack of a better term, get our hands on them and be able to work with them and get them integrated as quickly as possible into the Washington Capitals and our team and have them a part of it. We have to take a step back and think long-term of these young players and what's best for their development because we want them to be huge contributors for years to come, 5, 10 years from now, and be great NHL players. And so when you take that into account, Miro and especially for him at 20, he can play in the AHL, so it gives us an opportunity for him to play more, get those key offensive minutes to where he's touching the puck, he's making plays, he's playing on the power play in Ovi's spot where, you know, that's where he's played his junior career and as a young player. Well, guess where he's not playing if he's playing on the Washington Capitals? In Ovi's spot.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so that it just gives us an opportunity and it makes it, we're thinking about his long-term development. And same thing with Andrew. It's a shame that he's not able to go to the AHL and maybe potentially play there for a little bit and then come back up, but it won't hurt him to go back to junior and be a dominant player there and hopefully play in the World Juniors and probably hopefully make Team Canada and be able to play against the best players in the world for his age group.
So, Coach, how are you feeling about opening night? I was just looking at the Devils. They're going to play three games before you guys play mm-hmm. one.
Yep.
They played overseas and, against Buffalo, swept them, beat them 4-1 and 3-1, and then they're going to play Toronto tomorrow before heading to Washington. What do the Devils have? And I'm sure you've been scouting them already.
Oh, yeah, and I know their new head coach very well, having worked with him for 2 years in Toronto. So there's that. And their team, there's been a lot of press about their team, not just because of the coaching change and Kiefer going there, but also because they make the move to get Markstrom goaltender-wise. They're healthy again with Dougie Hamilton on the back end. Jack Hughes is now coming to his own as a real quality player, as one of the top players in the National Hockey League. And they sort of redid their back end. If you guys remember Brendan Dillon, who played here a few years, he's there now. Stephen Nason, who went there from Carolina. So they're going to be a quality team. And you saw it overseas already with those two wins against Buffalo. So they will be a handful. We know them fairly well, but they also have some new additions that I think are going to even help them that much more. So we're going to need to be on our game on Saturday night at home, even though, you know, there should be a ton of energy in the building and guys should be excited.
Wow, Markstrom's been in the league 15 years.
That's
unbelievable.
Has he been that long?
Well, it says here, Florida in 10-11 was his rookie year. Now, he only played one game, but that was his first year.
Wow.
He's a grinder.
Yeah, he's good. He's good. Solid goalie.
Coach, I wanted to ask you about our guy, Dylan Strome. So, 27 years old at this point. Last year was his best season, scored 27 goals, 40 assists, was one of the leading guys for you guys. Does he have another level?
That's what we're hoping for, and I do think he does. I genuinely do. I think he's got another level to get to, and he can get to that level. I think it's taken Stromer a little bit of time through his career he sort of goes one level here, and then he climbs another one, and then another one. And last year was an example of that. And him and I have talked quite a bit. Like, there's one more level for him to go. And that's, you know, getting in that conversation and being one of those dominant first-line centermen in the NHL and being able to play against the Connor McDavids, the Nathan MacKinnons. And it's not that you have to put up the numbers that they do, but go head-to-head and win some of those matchups from night to night. You're not going to win it every night. But if he can hang with those guys, play against them, be able to be as productive or on the level of them, that's sort of the last step for Stromer. And he's, you guys know him by now, like, highly, highly motivated young man. And I wouldn't bet against him because he has continued to prove people wrong, as, you know, organizations wrote him off early in his career. And now, you know, as you see, he's just continuing to get better. This is that last step that I think I'm going to bet on him to get to.
Coach Carbs, I know you're only focused on the Devils at this point, but I have the luxury of the schedule look ahead for all of October, okay? Pretty nice to have 7 of 10 at Cap 1, and your longest of the three roadies in that span is a trip to Tampa. Looks like the schedule makers took care of you guys early. I like it.
They did. Now, and I, you guys know me, like, I look at every one of these games, but it's, there's not an easy game on the schedule, right? Jersey, right. Vegas, Dallas, mm-hmm. Jersey, those two back-to-backs with Philly, Tampa, Rangers. Like, so it, I think starting at home is nice to sort of get comfortable and get us rolling. I think that's why a couple practice days at Capital One, because we are going to start our first three games at home. So trying to get as comfortable and set the tone on home ice right away and not have anything crazy road trip wise, and then things will pick up for us schedule wise.
All right, Coach, best of luck this weekend with the start of the season.
Okay, appreciate it, guys.
Yep. All right, thank
Talk
you, buddy.
To you again soon. Thanks.
Coach Spencer Carberry, brought to you by the Centers for Advanced Orthopedics. More physicians, more locations, more advanced care centered around one thing.
I was a little.
You visit CFAortho.com.
I was a little thrown when I saw the scores last night in the Utah Hockey Club.
Okay, yes.
Beat Chicago, and I thought, well, who's the Utah Hockey Club? Where'd they come from?
I forgot that Arizona moved to Utah.
I forgot Arizona moved to Utah, and I forgot that they don't have a mascot
yet. Yeah,
and it's the Utah Hockey Club.
Yeah, it's a placeholder name.
It's a placeholder, yeah.
Yep.
So I was a little thrown back.
Now you know.
But I can't believe that some teams have already played two games.
I know.
Yep, Caps open up the season on Saturday. Spencer Carberry, thanks for joining us. He'll be joining us throughout the season once again this year. Coming up next, we'll get back to the Commanders as we hit the Skins here on the Junkies. Coming up at 8:45, your chance to win some great prizes on a Game Show Wednesday brought to you by Wendy's, a whole new way to nug. We have tickets to go see Whitney Cummings in concert, Deftones at Capital One Arena. We'll play Junkie Shootout. That's at 8:45. Mike Loxley, Terps head football coach, joins us at 9:45.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, it's time to hit the Skins. Brought to you by Don't Sleep Energy. Need to hit the Skins right now. Grab a Don't Sleep Energy shot. Need to stay ready all day just in case. Sip on a refreshing 12-ounce can. You can grab both right now at don'tsleepenergy.com. Use the promo code Junkies. You get 10% off. And remember, don't sleep. Makes you great.
Makes you great.
Now, you'll have to remind me the audio that you have of Dan Quinn because I was too busy completing my order for Temu for my golf training aids. My first ever Temu order.
How many thousands of dollars do you think you've spent on golf training aids since you were a teenager?
I've had them all.
I mean, your tin cup. When he's in the bus or in the RV.
If you had put that money into like Apple or Google or Bitcoin,
right.
Oh my God.
You know what?
So rich.
So if you would have put a certain company stock in Apple, you'd have been a lot better
You're
off.
You're absolutely right.
Right.
Definitely true. Not disputing that one bit.
Anyway. You had the Medicus back in the day, which
I still
was
have
the,
it.
You still have it. That's the golf club that falls apart when you bring it back.
If you have the perfect swing, it'll stay functional.
Yeah.
It's never happened.
I actually thought it was revolutionary at the time. I got a lot of training aids. I need help.
He's trying to.
He must have had a bad round yesterday.
He's trying to improve himself.
And that's a very good point, JP. You wouldn't have been buying training aids if you were
balling. Nice. I know you had to have played golf yesterday the way you were dressed.
I did, but I had to leave. I had to leave because I had to get to the O'Connell Holy Cross.
Oh, how long did it take you to get there? I predicted 75 minutes.
Do you know what's shocking?
I
got there in 37 minutes.
Wow, no traffic. There's no traffic.
There was like no traffic on the belt. I just took the beltway to 66.
Okay, yeah.
And it's right
there.
Into the city, you know. It's right there.
Yeah, you got lucky.
And
where is O'Connell? I have no idea.
Arlington's middle of Arlington.
Yeah, it's kind of like, it's not that far from my old spot, my old haunt, Chasing Tails of Westmoreland. It's like, it's not far at all from there.
Yeah.
But yeah, big win for the Tartans. You don't know what a tartan is.
I don't.
Nope.
Tartan, it's something Scottish. It's like a piece of cloth or...
You're right.
Of course, I'm...
And listen...
I know everything about Scotland. Loch Ness Monster, tartans, Mike Myers doing Scottish accents for Shrek. I mean, I know everything about Scotland.
Holy Cross has been a great school for my daughter. She's a sophomore there. And I'll be completely frank. We went there because it's got a great...
Bagpipes.
It's got a great volleyball program. But when I found out that the mascot or whatever the team name was a tart with a cloth, it was hard for me to wrap my brain around.
But here's what I like. It's original. It's not
definitely
like,
original.
Hey, we're the Holy Cross Wildcats. Or we're the Holy Cross Tigers.
No, we're the Holy Cross. No, we're the cloth.
You're the Holy Cross Tartans.
Yes.
I actually kind of like it.
Yeah. Do they shorten it a little bit? Tarts? They call them the Tarts?
No. probably not. Because, I mean, that means the girls might be a little bit spicy.
Oh, yeah,
you don't want that sort of connotation.
No.
With the team.
But nice win yesterday, and I'm sure they'll see them down the road again.
Right.
So, good
Very
match.
Good.
All right, so give me the Dan Quinn stuff that you
there's
have.
There's audio of him on the sidelines in the Browns game. It's also kind of a visual. You can see him animated with all the guys, and he has a nickname. He calls his defense a nickname.
Mm, all right.
Come on and hit! Tack, run it and hit! Boom! Attaboy! Yeah!
Keep hunting. Keep hunting, bro.
I appreciate you.
Jade loads one up towards Deami Brown. He's got him! Touchdown!
One.
Daniels to Brown on a ball!
Ask the wolf.
Yeah.
Ask the
Wolf.
You're Wolf, right?
Yep.
You're
Wolf, man.
Wow.
Calls everybody you're
a
wolf.
You're a wolf.
Some people
wolf.
Were taking that to mean, well, the Commanders are going to change their name to the Wolves.
No. I'd be psyched if I was called a wolf.
Right?
Yeah.
You hear Bram there making the call, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bram has been the voice of the Redskins for a few years now.
Yep.
And he's, you know, a guy that we know him for, what, 20-some years?
Yep.
Bram, I was listening to Bram on Kime's deal as I was driving in. And I thought Bram made an excellent point, you know, about this offense. And, you know, the fact that we're leading the league in scoring is just unbelievable. But it's not like, and this, I give credit to Bram for pointing this out. It's not like we're taking advantage of, like, fumble recoveries or interceptions where we have short fields. Like, that's happened, like, twice. A kickoff return. And maybe one other, maybe it was a turnover or something. But pretty much, they're just marching down the field and scoring 31 a game.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the beneficiary of just starting in the red zone and getting gimme points.
They're scoring at will.
They're kind of scoring at will, kind of. Like, yeah. They're kind of scoring every time they touch the ball.
Right. He'd be that a game where they didn't punt.
I brought up the stat yesterday. They're averaging 3.3 points per possession, which is absurd. It, like, tracks with some of the most prolific scoring teams in the league.
Yeah, and
in the league's history.
And I know I've said this, and I know that there are old heads like us out there that can relate. I haven't felt this way since 91. And that doesn't mean we're going to win a Super Bowl or anything like that. But it just means, like, I haven't felt like we could score every time we have the ball. Literally, in 31, 32, 33, whatever year it is. 33 years.
Yeah.
It's a pretty bizarre field.
Larry Bird, number of years.
Yeah. All right, so Valdez also has more audio. I think this is of Frankie Louvu, who had a monster day on Sunday.
I got to ask you about your head coach, because there's not a single person in the world. I've covered this league for over 10 years now. Everyone has something good to say about Dan Quinn. It's pretty cool. Like, everyone loves him. He's the architect of the leading boom, fast, stingy, versatile. That literally sounds like you. What has it been like so far to work with Dan Quinn, who never worked with you before, but wanted you in his building?
Man, I wish I was playing for Dan Quinn my whole 7 years in the league. I mean, dude is just a solid, solid coach, solid person, father, like, man, mentor, and every category that you think a old, like, a G should be at. He always said that, like, be a G. Man, that's the EQ.
Wow.
It's great to hear. By the way,
hear a better compliment than that, right?
I saw an article, I think it was by Doug Farrar, and I'm not sure who he's with now, but he's one of the
analysts.
Or
something, right?
And he called Louvu's insertion into Dan Quinn's defense as diabolical.
Uh-huh.
And I know that all preseason you were hoping that Dan Quinn would unlock Jamin Davis.
Yeah.
But what he's doing is getting Louvu to be the Micah Parsons.
Yeah, so far, yeah, for sure. I mean, he's definitely the
really
star
good.
Of that group. And Wagner, too.
Has he been
by the way, a lot of back padding from you about Jamin Davis in the preseason.
Yeah, I haven't noticed a lot of
Well, he did play 25 plays.
How many times did you do this in the preseason? Told you about Jamin Davis.
Yeah.
Hey, he's still
done
there.
Nothing.
He's still there. He 23 plays.
He's on the team.
Yeah, he's
on
lucky.
The field.
He's lucky.
Played more than the
team.
Number one draft pick 2 years ago.
That is true.
Manny Forbes, I think, played 4 plays.
This is quite the honeymoon phase, I think, everyone's in with Dan Quinn and this team.
Well, it's easy to be in a honeymoon phase when you're scoring 30-plus points
per
game.
That's what we said.
And you've got a stud quarterback.
It all just takes wins.
Right.
Right? And everything looks great.
Well,
you talk about everybody.
You saw the turnout at the stadium.
Yeah, turnout was unbelievable.
What are tickets going for in Baltimore?
Oh, they're pricey.
They're but expensive. I think I saw, like, the cheapest, like, nosebleeds.
Yeah.
I saw were like $240, $250
right.
before fees.
If you could get free tickets from
Sam Weiner.
Yeah. Would you go? Or would you rather watch it home?
I mean, I guess I used to watch it at home.
Yeah.
But 1 o'clock games are games I would go to.
Aftermarket tickets right now, according to ESPN.com, $262 is the cheapest ticket.
Wow.
Now, by comparison, like Cards Packers, $115. If you want to go see Colts Titans, if you want to blind yourself with bad football, $46 to get you in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Bucks Saints, $58.
It's going to cost you, if you have a family of four, it's going to cost you $1,500 to go to that game.
Easily.
Yeah.
You think there'll be a lot of Commanders fans in the stadium?
I don't know.
There'll be some, but I don't think there's that much room.
It's all purple, typically, right?
Weren't there a lot in Arizona?
There were a lot in Arizona.
That's different. That's Arizona. Nobody cares about them.
Yeah, there's actually fans.
They can't fill their stadium.
Ravens fans, right?
Yeah, but
you guys aren't going to sell your tickets to Skins fans.
No, but the home opener looked a little empty. A lot of Raiders
fans
there.
What happens when Buffalo, the Steelers play the Ravens? There's a lot of black and gold.
I think it's a little overblown about how many Ravens fans are in M&T Bank Stadium.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think they sell off a lot of their tickets.
Well, if that's true, then we might. But I know, me as a, you know, guy that makes too much money, I still wouldn't pay that. I personally wouldn't. That's an outrageous sum
to go sit where you can touch the flyover.
Right. Yeah, you don't
instead
want
of
that.
Being in the comforts of your own home.
That's a game where you need
Buffalo chicken dip.
Where you need a ticket hookup. You need to know somebody.
Right. All right, so we've been talking about the rankings and where the Commanders are, like what kind of respect are they getting? And I can remember you should go to week one when we were like 30, 31, 32. Literally, it was a month ago. This same football team was being ranked 30, 31, 32. Now, a month later, their high is 4. Sports Illustrated, The Athletic, Pro Football Talk has them at 5. NFL.com, CBS Sports, the 33rd team, Sporting News, Fox Sports, Clutch, have them all 6.
Yep.
ESPN has them 7. So does USA Today, New York Post, Bleacher Report. I mean, legitimate news outlets.
They're not outside the top 10
in any of them. That's a weird, goofy fantasy thing that Cakes is into. Legit outlets. I'm the only person into fantasy. let me see. Yahoo Sports has them an 8. Walter Football, 8.
I don't know. How does Walter Football get on this list? I'm still stunned by Walter Football's glow up.
Yeah,
he just does a mock draft every week.
Let me see. The lowest, let me see.
10, 9?
Looks like The Ringer has him at 15. NFL Trade Rumors, 14.
They haven't updated him. How are they only 14 or 15?
I don't know. Maybe they just don't believe. Maybe they're one of those guys that like look at the team records and go, they're not beating anybody. But I think some of those teams are better than records. So
that means teams like the 49ers who are 2-3 are above them.
Maybe.
The Falcons.
Maybe.
The Cowboys.
I don't think that record alone, I mean, you know, record is a factor, but it shouldn't be the sole factor.
It's not.
Yeah, you could have a worse record than us and be ahead of us.
Yeah, I mean, depends on the, look, it's all opinion.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll make it to 1 if they beat the Ravens?
Yes.
Do you think anyone will be that crazy to throw them at 1?
Well, I don't think it'd be that crazy. Right now.
I don't know, probably the Chiefs.
If they're 5-1 and beat the Ravens?
I think we're...
Chiefs or Vikings are probably 1 or 2.
I think we might be better than the Vikings. I don't think it's a crazy ranking
if they beat the Ravens on the road to put them at 1.
There will be
1
in some of those, I'm sure.
I think you're a little bit nervous about this game. I'm getting a nervous sense.
I've told you. The hottest team in the NFL. They have the best offense in the NFL. Of course I'm nervous.
Well, it doesn't really mean anything if you lose, though, because it's just a one-off.
Are they the hottest team in the NFL when there's 2 undefeated teams?
Hottest in terms of scoring a billion points every week?
Yeah.
The style points, I would say, yeah, definitely the hottest team.
Right. I mean, certainly. I would say over the last 3 weeks, we're definitely the hottest team.
I don't know.
It's only been Chiefs, 5 weeks played.
Chiefs won the Super Bowl and haven't lost since.
Yeah, but they haven't looked that great. That's a perfect example.
Mahomes has 6 touchdowns, 6 picks.
Yeah, but they're still winning.
All they do is win.
Understood.
Great, but it shows they're vulnerable.
Yeah, but the style points. Haven't they won back-to-back Super Bowls?
They have.
Yes. And they're undefeated?
They have.
Well, that's why they're 1 in most of those. They got to be. Those power rankings.
Yeah, it's funny because I only have where the Commanders are. I can't go through everyone. That's just way too much effort.
But of course I am, because the Ravens' biggest vulnerability is the pass defense.
Are you vulnerable to a one-way bet like Drab was last week? Or
yeah,
no?
We
got
to think of something.
I was thinking about this yesterday.
Yeah.
The Drab thing was so organic, and you were so offended by the thought that they would lose to the Browns and not put up 30 points. But I feel like I'm the biggest Commanders hype man in this room.
It's kind of weird.
It's very weird.
It's doing a little reverse Lou Holtz.
I'm not doing a reverse. I'm trying to get you guys all fired up.
No, are you kidding? I'm super fired up.
No, I'm trying to get you guys to buy.
Free rolling.
I know. I'm trying to get you guys to buy in instead of free roll.
I can't. It's hard for me to imagine that we can knock off the Ravens when literally a month ago I thought it was the worst defense I'd ever seen. So I was praying.
It's evolved.
Yeah, I guess it happens.
It's adjusted. It's evolved.
But it's hard for me to imagine.
Playing the Browns helps. Now, they did shove it on the Cardinals, who put up 24 this past week.
You're still in this mindset that you have an idiotic coaching staff that just rams their dumb brain into the wall week after week. This is a smart coach.
I don't think that about the offense. I don't think that about the offense.
I know, I'm just saying, you have a smart coaching staff that adjusts and has shown that they've adjusted.
Yeah, I don't know that we have the personnel to adjust, but maybe we do. I'm a little bit of a non-believer in the defense.
He has leftover trauma from Ron and all the clowns that preceded him.
You know how much crap I've been through the last 33 years?
It's time to shed all that scar tissue.
I'm trying.
Yeah, it takes years to do that.
Ask my wife if I'm happy on Sunday. She mocks me with my clapping that I do in the house.
Like a seal?
She walks around the house and she makes these clapping sounds. Because I'm getting all fired up watching the game.
She should be clapping there with you. She should be.
She doesn't like your clapping. Does she care?
She mocks me because I'm a loud clapper.
Well, she probably loud claps when she watches the U.S. Open. Do you mock her for that?
Yeah. No.
But yes.
Listen, I just added to the list of mocking of me in my house.
But yes,
my whole family mocks me.
You're damn right. I'm nervous about this game. Also because I need the Ravens to win.
You do
because
need
I can't go the entire calendar year with Commanders fans holding that over my
specifically,
head.
Specifically, Jeff Walker will never let you live it down because he thinks you're a prime like Jaden Daniels hater. Correct? Like he's
well, he I'm definitely not, thinks Drab is.
Yeah, he thinks Drab. Well, Drab
I don't know.
Is.
I don't understand
Drab
it.
Is.
Okay,
I don't understand it. I'm not a Jaden Daniels hater, but the Jeff Walkers of the world are making me dislike him.
What is he doing?
Too much know.
He comes in and talks about it every day.
He's not used. The younger Commanders fans. Yeah. They don't know how to act.
Well, you're right because they.
I know
they
don't know how to act.
They've never had success.
I know
they haven't had sustained success ever.
And they're doing this. They're doing this. Jaden's the best quarterback in the league. Jaden's better than Lamar. Jaden's better than Patrick Mahomes.
Okay.
And I'm trying to school the young Jeff Walker
that
they don't throw a parade for you if you have the best quarterback in the league. You don't get a ring for having the best quarterback in the league. So he can be narrow-sighted about
Mike,
that.
You can have get a Super Bowl trophy.
You can have tunnel vision. No, that's what I'm saying is you don't get the Super Bowl trophy for having the league MVP.
Right.
Ask Lamar. Ask Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah,
doesn't happen
often,
like that.
Often you do. Like, you're giving me outliers.
I'm not giving you outliers.
They're not outliers.
It's not outliers. Just because you win
MVPs
the MVP
win all the time and don't win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, doesn't mean you win the Super Bowl.
You may not hold
Peyton
on.
Manning, I believe, won 5 MVPs. He's got 2 Super Bowls.
Okay. It doesn't mean you win the Super Bowl that year, but if you've got an MVP caliber player, what accompanies that typically is a trophy.
I know, but this is why it's stupid is because he's throwing the parade already. He has the cart before the horse.
If the Commanders,
well, you can't accuse me of that.
I'm not accusing you of that.
If the Commanders win the Super Bowl at some point, I'm not saying it's going to happen.
We get a ring from the Commanders.
Think of all the motivation you can give to the all the volleyball teams with all the rings, especially Commanders.
Yeah, look at my hand.
We don't get Commanders rings because we're not affiliated with the team.
I guess that's true.
It's true.
I'm just putting it out there into the universe.
True, we don't. The only thing we got a shot for Wizards.
I would love a Wizards ring.
That's going to be a while. Hey, Matt Myers, are you going to do an emotional hedge bet?
I haven't decided yet.
He doesn't like betting
TBD.
Against these guys. I'm telling you, emotional hedges are amazing. But you only do it when you're convinced you're going to lose.
Well, I'm not really convinced yet.
Yeah, so I don't think it's a prime spot for you then. Yeah. Because you're really going to be rooting for
the Bulls. Yeah, I'll wait for the Super Bowl to do it.
800-636-1067 is the number. We're the Junkies. Coming right back. Time now for the Junkies Blitz, brought to you by Offenbachers. You can visit them in Herndon, Rockville, Gainesville, or Annapolis. They have a huge selection of hot tubs, swim spas, fire pits, pool tables, and outdoor furniture. We talked about it earlier. The biggest story in the NFL is the Jets fired the first head coach of the season, Robert Saleh.
I was kind of shocked by it.
I mean, 5 games in, 2-3 start.
I mean, it's a mediocre start. Things look like they were going south. Maybe it's the right move, but I think it's the first time in Woody Johnson's tenure that he's ever fired a coach, and he's been there like over 2 decades.
He's never fired a coach mid-season. That's how bad it was.
And honestly, he's had 6 games with Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers has clearly looked rusty at times.
Would you be bitter if the Jets were interested in kicking the tires on Cliff?
I mean, he's not going to go anywhere now.
I know. I'm just saying at the end of the season.
I mean, I bet a lot of guys are. I mean, if they continue this way, it's going to be hard to keep them.
Yep. 100%.
Woody Johnson said the decision was solely his. He consulted with the GM, Joe Douglas. But there is an interesting theory about the firing. Warren Sharp tweeted, hearing the news that his buddy OC Hackett might be fired, Aaron Rodgers picked up the red phone on Monday night direct to Woody Johnson's private line and told him to fire Saleh.
Mm. Possible.
That is exactly how this story is shaping up.
I just remember watching the end of that game last weekend in London when Rodgers threw that critical pick. They're driving down the field to possibly win the game, and he threw that awful pick, and they panned to Saleh on the sideline. He was just shaking his head. You knew what he was thinking.
Well, you know what?
You knew what he was thinking.
I'm going to defend Rodgers there for a little bit. That way, it was a bad throw, I guess, but it looked to me like he was trying to do like a back shoulder thing. It just didn't work.
No. It wasn't a bad shoulder, you guess. It was
a back shoulder.
No, I'm saying it was a bad throw. It wasn't even.
I thought he was trying to do a back shoulder throw.
Well, even if he was trying to do a back shoulder, it wasn't a good throw.
Yeah. Okay.
Because he threw it short. He threw it down here.
Yeah. Yeah.
He certainly hasn't been good, but it's hard to defend Saleh when he has a record which is 14 games under 500.
All those other guys are garbage.
Here's a question.
It's true.
I don't know why they're throwing to Mike Williams down the right sideline when Garrett Wilson's got 13 catches in the game. I mean, find a way to get Garrett Wilson open on that drive.
I generally agree, but I mean, Mike Williams is still a deep threat. Like, that's part of.
Yeah, but he's not your number one guy. Go to your number one guy.
Mm-hmm. I guess they wanted to spread it around. I mean, Garrett Wilson had 22 targets in the game.
Yeah.
Like, they were looking his way plenty.
Yeah, for a reason.
Right.
The owner of the Jets, Woody Johnson, also made a plea for Hassan Reddick to end his holdout. Hassan Reddick has been giving up hundreds of thousands of dollars every week.
What a dummy.
By not showing up to camp and now not playing in the regular season.
Why don't you ask who's the running back from the Jets that did that a few years ago? Ask him how that worked out
for him. The Jets?
Yeah.
Le'Veon Bell?
Bell.
Yeah, Le'Veon Bell. Yeah, Le'Veon probably Bell. Didn't work out great.
The only guy it really worked out for was Riggins. Big John made it work.
That was a long time ago.
Reddick is 30 years old. He, of course, was acquired in a trade with the Eagles. He wants a new contract, skipped all the team events, and he's incurred more than $8 million in fines.
Oh, $8 million?
Final year of a contract that pays him a non-guaranteed base salary of $14.25 million. So he's already forfeited $4.2 million of that.
Man, what's it like to be born on third base with a lead towards stealing home like Woody Johnson, who's worth $3.4 billion?
I mean, can you think?
Must be nice.
What would you do? Like, if you were a billionaire, like, after you bought everything, then what do you do?
I mean, you just enjoy the rest of your life.
You got to make it work. You fire coaches till you get the right one.
Right.
You got to buy a team.
You give awful contracts to washed up QBs.
Yeah, that's kind of what you do.
Interesting news here with the Steelers. According to their insider, Mark Caboli.
All right.
He noted that Mike Tomlin spoke differently about his quarterbacks this week. The last couple weeks, he came in and basically said Justin Fields is starting.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't say that this week. Said he will see how Russell Wilson gets through the week of practice first. Sure sounds like there's a good chance Wilson starts if he proves he's healthy during the week.
That's interesting.
They've lost the last 2 games.
Oh yeah.
Even if Fields hasn't played that poorly, it's kind of like what's happening in New England. Brissett has lost four games in a row. They may have said that they wanted to play the long game with Drake May, but losing equals impatience.
Mm-hmm.
And so maybe that's happening in Pittsburgh, and he wants to give Russell Wilson a shot if he's healthy.
Certainly possible.
Yeah. Fields hasn't played bad, but he hasn't done much.
He doesn't
either.
Put up great numbers, but he wouldn't turn the ball over.
Which is huge.
And they were winning the Cowboy game late, and Dak had that late drive.
And Najee Harris has been, he's been subpar at running back. He's averaging 3.3 yards per carry. Hasn't scored this season.
I saw a film breakdown of Pickens, their top receiver, and the analyst was just grilling him, saying he runs half speed on his routes.
Well,
he was just like
great.
Running around there half speed. They're like, how do you have him on the field?
I mean, if Mike Tomlin were my coach, I'm running full speed all the time.
You know what people were sending me? They were sending me clips of Chase just like jogging after, who was he playing? The Chiefs?
Mahomes.
Yeah, just jogging after Mahomes. Mm-hmm. Like he's sprinting, and then Mahomes gets like a little bit of an angle on him, and Chase
stops.
Just gives up.
Well, he did that for, what,
I know.
3 years here.
He did have a sack in the game.
He did. I saw.
First sack of the season. And on the broadcast, they said that, I guess when they had their meeting, the coaches in New Orleans were telling them that Chase was getting close, but they needed to get a sack. He needed to deliver.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Was I don't
that,
think
that was his
ever,
first sack on the season, week five?
He's got 1.5.
Man, what up?
I can double check.
Nobody's ever accused Chase Young of having an over-aggressive motor, at least in the NFL.
I mean, how can you be built like that and then just be, frankly, soft?
Coast by on your athletic talent.
Like, he doesn't have Jaden Daniels' work ethic.
Doesn't seem
no.
like
no.
it.
No. Not even close.
Last thing I wanted to mention, Mike Florio wrote that apparently... You know, some people in Cleveland are grasping that this new sexual assault settlement would mean they could void the contract.
Right.
Flores says, no escape clause. Oh. It's not available any longer to the Browns now that the case has been resolved via settlement.
Yeah, they're going to have to deal with it.
The Browns are boned for the next
two years. They've got 2 years. I got to pay him. You don't have to play him. You got to pay him.
I would not take the dead cap hit, but I would certainly start looking for another quarterback, and I would just say...
Yeah,
sorry, Deshaun, you're riding the pine.
They're going to draft a quarterback in the first round, and maybe he sits behind Watson next year, but eventually that'll be the guy.
Right.
Coming up next, we'll hear from an NFL insider who ponders whether Jaden Daniels' success is sustainable. We tackle that next here on the Junkies.